down because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the man. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous money will not turn into guns. All the food you know is asking for. All you buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when you'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made me.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. But as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. And I am just having all kinds of glorious fun. For those of you who are listening live, you're already aware that the broadcast is better than 30 minutes late trying to get started. More technical glitches with the wonderful world of BTR. I kept trying and trying and trying, and they just would not let me sign on. Did everything I could, refreshing everything on my end, completely rebooting everything on my end, and still, it was just a matter of BTR finally deciding to accept my PIN code, which has never changed in the entirety of the time I have had this account. No reason for it to. They just kept saying, no, not you. No, that doesn't match what we have on file. No, 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 and some more no. Until finally, there we go. Now, I want to give a shout-out to the folks hanging out in the chat room. A lot of you folks have been hanging out for quite a while because of the deal. So thanks to everybody for that. We've got Gary. We have a guest in studio. We have Robin Duffy, who doesn't often join us here, but she's with us today. Welcome, and thanks for being here. Chief from Simple Facts of Life, and of course, New Orleans Wake Up is also in the building, ready to bring his unique brand of progressive thought to the chat. So hopefully everyone will play nice as we advance. Now, the timing here actually puts us in a situation where I'm already supposed to have a guest on. However, Ms. Donovan, I do not see where she has called in yet. So let me reach out to her one more time. I know last time she was supposed to be on, we actually had a bit of a snafu. She, for some reason, was thinking I was in the Central Time Zone, which, of course, is not correct. But at any rate, I'll see if I can't reach out to Ms. Donovan, and we'll see if we can't bring her on here momentarily. And in the meanwhile, happy Veterans Day, everybody out there. For those of you who actually did serve, I know for a fact that Chief did, and I know several other folks that listen to the show on a regular basis have as well. This is a day that is set aside to be a special time of remembrance. And sadly, for a lot of folks in our day-to-day lives, we have relegated this to being a one-time-a-year bit. If we only think about our veterans one time a year, that's not very much of a reason for them to serve. Because we know the government's not doing a very good job of taking care of them. We know that our veterans are facing these, well, you know, it's a blasé attitude from the American public at large. I mean, a lot of conservatives tend to speak about how grateful they are on a fairly regular basis. However, sometimes they might feel hollow if you hear them say, thank you for your service, thank you for your service, over and over again. It doesn't mean that it is, but from the standpoint of the veteran, it does get a little, well, it gets a little old. And the reason for that is we look around and we see things like what transpires with the current VA system. We look around and we see things that transpire with how our current men and women in uniform are being treated. And despite all of this, we constantly face the fact that we count on these people. And not just the men and women in uniforms, but their families too. There's tremendous sacrifice that goes on. And it's perhaps more of a sacrifice now, more than it's ever been. And it has a lot to do with the fact that more and more, as we continue to move forward, at least since Vietnam, and you could say since Korea, maybe even before then, we have seen this divide between politicians that's turned our soldiers and our officers into pawns for political agendas as opposed to achieving the agenda laid forth of a military tactic. I have the utmost respect for anyone who's willing to take the oath and honor it, who's willing to risk their lives, who's willing to sacrifice time with family, time away from home, sacrifice being in deserts or jungles or blistering cold at times that we're here in the States celebrating holidays or engaging in voting or complaining back and forth about how terrible it is that the Red Sox won or how terrible it would have been if the Red Sox didn't. We get to enjoy a great deal of freedoms because of what the men and women of this nation have done. So, thank you. Every single one of you that's worn a uniform and every single family member that has supported those who have worn the uniforms, thank you. You deserve better than you get. We know it, and we will not stand back in silence about it any longer. We will hold politicians accountable. We will require them to do a better job of honoring the promises that were made to you. And we won't just do it once or twice a year. We won't just do it when it's convenient. We will take up the cause full time. It will be no more than a thought or two away, no more than a breath or two away when we're speaking. Lots and lots of people here who listen to the show on a regular basis are rather politically active, and I'm pleading with each and every one of you who does so. Join me in that pledge. Speak up for the veterans. Speak up for improvements in the VA. Speak up for improvements for how they're treated. And speak up for improvements in equipment and conditions, improvements in training, improvements in technology, speak up for everything that we can do to help make sure that as many of these people come home safe as is possible. Gary in the chat room says, right now, there are rocket attacks in Israel. We are very fortunate here that we have managed to avoid the brunt of major attacks, that we have managed to not have to fight full-on wars here on our own soil, short of our revolution and then what is referred to as the American Civil War. Chief, I know for a fact you're a Navy veteran, so thank you for taking your turn and doing your duty. We haven't had an opportunity to get in depth about what you did as you served, but I know that you have. And whether or not you are a mechanic or you are a frontline infantry or whatever your job may have been, support, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you put on that uniform, and in the name of this country, you served. You played a part, a role in protecting our freedoms and our liberties, and for that, I thank you. We cannot sit back and just let this continuation of political derangement spiral out of control to the point that it dismantles our military and makes us ripe for our enemies. We cannot sit back and allow this division to make us vulnerable to those who would take advantage, both internal and external. We can't sit back and let our veterans fail to get the medical attention that they need, whether it's physical or mental. We must serve them as they have served us. We must. So with that, if you are fortunate enough to have veterans in your family, please give them my thanks and the thanks of this listening audience. If you have had the opportunity to meet with veterans, if you have the opportunity to see them on a fairly regular basis, please do a little something, every opportunity you get, to help them feel a little bit better about the circumstances, because it's real easy right now. It's real easy right now if we sit back and we just look at the news, especially if we have certain news outlets that's the only thing we pay attention to, then in the name of all that's holy in heaven, it is hard to keep a chin up, and it is hard to believe that the United States of America might possibly still have brighter days ahead, but I guarantee you we do. And it's partially because of the price that was paid by these veterans and also the price that was paid by those who did not come back, the ones that we remember on Memorial Day. And it doesn't matter if you want to honor them close to the end of World War II or if you want to honor them close to whatever day. My point is, this should not be just one time a year. We can't let it be. Thank our veterans. Let them know we mean it. Whether they are still survivors from Vietnam, a few that's left from World War II, or someone who just came back from Iraq or Afghanistan. For those of us who have not served, for those of us who have not seen combat, we can't possibly imagine what some of these people have seen. But we should appreciate what they have done in the name of our country and in the name of our our flag and in the name of the uniforms they wear, primarily to make sure that we can breathe easy. We cannot, nor should we, allow politicians to play games and turn our men and women in uniforms into pawns. They should be protecting American interests. They should be protecting American citizens, and they should be working to help protect our allies in the same manner from our enemies, and that should be it. So, with that said, obviously, I still have not heard back from Ms. Donovan, which, unfortunately, something may have come up, or she may have tuned in earlier and was unable to get through when I was having the technical glitches, and there's a ton of things that may be at issue. But if we're having the same issue, or she's thinking we're on Central time, then I'll go ahead and bring her on along with Ron. Ron's usually pretty easy to flow like that. And I think a panel discussion, given some of the things that we were planning on talking about, probably would work out fairly well. So in the meanwhile, what I will do right now is we're getting ever so close to the bottom of what's supposed to be the first hour of the show, but today is, well, somewhere around 20 minutes or so of the show. We'll go ahead and we'll play the Edwards Notebook and the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day, and then I will discuss a current topic of my choosing, although I am open to suggestions in the chat room if there's anything you guys would like to talk about until our guests call in. So in the meanwhile, stay with me, and I will be right back. First off, this is Ron Edwards.
Mexican leaders dispatched more police and military personnel on that nation's southern border that have been mostly watching five caravans of bully migrants heading to the United States to invade. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, there are now armed and dangerous men among those throngs pushing to illegally barge into our republic. The invaders have famous allies like Shepard Smith of Fox News, CNN's Don Lemon, who called pro-American white men terrorists. President Trump plans to enact an executive order that would end the destructive anchor baby system that allows pregnant illegal border crossing females to drop their babies and then be dubbed U.S. citizens. And in sanctuary cities like San Francisco, where homeless Americans live in cars, while homeless illegal border crossers receive everything they want. Black Americans like Scott Bolden, former Democrat Party chairman, advocates for letting in illegal border crossers because he considers America to be racist. Apparently, Mr. Bolden isn't aware of the legendary racist tendencies of Latin and Central Americans, particularly against black people. But then again, he may not even care because his desire to harm our republic supersedes his so-called concern over racism. I'm Ron Edwards. Let's further discuss this and other issues during the Ron Edwards Experience on AmericaMatters.us, SHR Media, on Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and Sunday midnights on the TalkAmericaRadio.us network.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day. It's that time of year when we hear a great deal about getting a flu shot. Have you never had a flu shot? Well, this should be the year you get one. The VA reports that if more veterans got a flu shot, 10,000 lives could be spared. As we get older, it's more difficult for us to fight the flu. So here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA has established a partnership with Walgreens and now is offering flu shots at all of its pharmacies, including Duane Reade Pharmacies in New York and at the Walgreens Health Clinic locations across America. The VA medical centers aren't always conveniently located, and not all veterans have access to them. This is why they partnered with Walgreens. Eligible veterans can visit participating Walgreens pharmacy locations to receive a vaccination at no cost. To find your closest Walgreens, go to walgreens.com. You can get your flu shot on your next visit to the VA center, too. The life you save may be your own. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am back, and we have just a few moments while we'll be watching. So we'll be on. okay. I'm checking some messages here, unfortunately not from our scheduled guest. But thanks for staying with me through that little bit of a break. Obviously, Dan Perkins with Songs and Stories for Soldiers, as well as DanPerkinsGuru.org and a ton of other activities he's constantly involved with. Prolific author, glad to be associated with him. And anyway, let me peek into the chat room and see if anybody had a suggestion or two that they wanted a topic. Whatever happened to talk of the caravan, New Orleans is asking. I haven't heard the president of Fox News say anything lately. Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the caravan has not been, well, the official caravan hasn't actually been moving much until today. I was supposed to be getting back underway and in coming in this direction. What is there to talk about, really? These folks are coming. Folks on the left want to blow out of proportion what Donald Trump actually says. And yes, that is a factual statement, New Orleans. And constantly, he wants to stop people illegally crossing the border. He said on multiple occasions that they need to present themselves at a lawful point of entry, which is the process for seeking asylum. And he certainly should stand up for our laws and should stand up to protect our sovereignty, which this is a threat to the sovereignty. Whether you believe that these are strictly folks that are just seeking humanitarian aid or what have you, all that's fine. But at the end of the day, we'd be doing them a much bigger favor if we helped to stabilize the areas they're coming from. What do I think about Trump not visiting the World War I cemetery in France? Well, you know, I have mixed feelings about it because, first of all, I do think it's a good thing to show respect and honor the sacrifice that's been made by these folks, especially the ones that didn't make it back to American soil for whatever reason when it comes to visiting the Americans who are buried there. Outside of that, though, Macron has put a thumb in the eye of the president quite a bit here lately. First, his little statement last week in regards to Europe needing an army of its own to stand against the threats, to be prepared to fight against Russia and the United States. I would love to know exactly when it is France has ever had to fight against the United States. And what is it that he thinks is transpiring here that makes him believe that at some point in time he would? Because here's the tragic fact. There'd be a lot of German spoken in France right now if it wasn't for Americans. Okay, and New Orleans keeps jumping topics down here. Do I believe the recount in Florida is a Democratic scheme to steal the election? Well, that's a good question. We kind of touched on that Friday night, and you were in here in the chat room when we were talking about that. Like I said, the Browder County bit certainly looks suspicious. As far as that's concerned, trying to steal an election, when you concede and then you unconcede when there's questions about the ballots in play, let's just let it play out. Do I think it's an effort to steal elections? Yeah, that's the part that's really scary. Because if they were completely competent, if we were talking about people that actually could do the jobs they've been put in a position to do, then it would be clear and obvious that, yes, that's exactly what's happening. Because otherwise, there's no excuses. There's no rationale that explains why so many uncounted votes when so many other places managed to get it done in the time required or expected. But the fact that this lady is kind of suspicious, kind of shady. She's got a sketchy past for as long as she's been in this position, which strangely enough has been a while. You really can't put a finger. If you're going to be honest about it, it is very difficult to establish point blank. Is this an attempt, an orchestration to try and steal the governorship and the senator's seat? Or is this just horrible ineptitude? It has to be one or the other. I mean, no matter how you want to cut it, no matter how you want to frame it, there is no two options there. It's one or the other. Either she is trying to help steal this election, or she is so horribly inequipped to do the job in question that people in her own party, which, as we went down Friday, in the past, people in her own party, strangely enough, Democrats, have called for her removal. She has been fired in the past when Jeb Bush was in charge, and everybody said, well, that was partisan politics. Well, he fired her over her inability to do the job. So in a lot of ways, with the evidence on the ground, I say there's a pretty strong evidence for the possibility of both. Did Trump throw Mia Love under the bus? I haven't heard any statements Trump's made about Mia Love at this point, so I really can't follow up with that. It would be odd, I would think, to do that. I do think that it's entirely possible that Trump may have, being the imprecise communicator that he is, may have said something that the media is willing to run with, say that. But I don't know. It's like I said, I haven't actually heard the comment in this case. Again, I missed it, New Orleans, so I can try to look it up and comment on it for you later. But as of right now, I missed it, so I don't know. But at any rate, let's see here. I've got Ron sending me messages. So we'll see if I can't bring Ron on, and hopefully Miss Donovan will give us a call here briefly too. Okay. I did let him know that there's a possibility that if she does call in a little late, may share some time, and Ron seems to be perfectly okay with that, but he still hasn't let me know that he's ready yet. So, pardon me just a moment. And I will be finished with this message here briefly, which is great. It's live. Live stuff is always fun. When stuff is going well, I mean, okay. So, anyway, we should have Ron join us momentarily. But as far as the question is concerned, that's one of the topics I plan on talking about. It was election results and the aftermath that was primary topics I wanted to discuss today. But as we go further in, there's a few other questions that I would love to get discussed as well. And let's see. Hopefully any second now, we'll have Ron joining us, and we'll just do that. But, Democrats trying to steal the election, and I would love to just say yes, because I would love to assume that the folks involved here are actually competent. You know, how you decide to put people in a position to do a job when it's an important job. You want them to be competent at doing the job. And right now we are indeed being joined live by Mr. Ron Edwards. Ron, thanks for joining us today, and how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Happy to be here once again. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I hope you're having a great Veterans Day, and that all this is going well for you. As you know, we've got all kinds of things to talk about, including some negative things that seem to be flying from the media in regards to Donald Trump's visit to France and Some folks are saying that he's disrespected folks for not going to certain cemeteries. And, of course, we have all-out mania going on in the aftermath of some of these elections. We have folks that are still having to litigate and folks that are still counting, evidently, in some places. I'm not sure how that happens. How is it you don't know where all your votes are to start with? But we'll jump in any place you'd like, although probably the election fallout's the best place. So, but I'll let you jump in wherever you like.
Well, I'll jump in with the election fallout. Right now, in fact, in Broward County and elsewhere throughout Florida, they are calling for volunteer attorneys to come down there to observe the recounts that are going on. They say that they need thousands of them because these people cannot be trusted, obviously, with the job at hand just to count votes because they're so politically motivated. They've been cheating, just blatantly cheating. And, oh, gosh, I can't think of that silver-haired queen over the Broward County elections, the recount. What is her name? But anyway, they said that even though what she's been doing, and not only in this election but in the past, it's been illegal and just downright wrong, they're afraid to fire her. They're afraid to go after her because, one, she's black, and two, she's a black female. And this is a quote from two people down there, and these people are both in the know. One's a talk show host, and one is a local official down there. And so, I am just livid that these people are so afraid of being labeled a racist that they're willing to allow the entire election process to be ruined by this silver-haired queen who hates this country and is willing to just ruin the election process in order for them to get their socialist way.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brenda Snipes is the name. And we spent a lot of time on the Friday night show actually going down a list of several things, some of which she's even been called out before by the Democratic Party. Some of the in the past, she's left off amendments from the ballots. You know, when you're looking to vote on state constitutional amendments, it's kind of important to have that opportunity to vote. She posted election results half an hour before the polls closed. She's claimed not to have enough money to notify voters when their absentee ballots expire. She's illegally destroyed ballots. So there were legal cases involving the need to preserve ballots, and she went ahead and started destroying them anyway, despite a court order. There were absentee ballots that never arrived, and people had to show up in person to vote. And thankfully they were able to, but the reason you want to do the absentee is usually because you're not always sure you can make it. Even, like I said, fellow Democrats have accused her precinct of individual and systemic breakdowns that made it difficult for voters to cast regular ballots. And that's just a short part of the list, including having staffers, literally have staffers go campaign while on the official time for the department. So, yeah, she's kind of a sketchy lady, but some of this is clear violations of the law. While Jeb Bush was governor, she actually did get fired from this post and then managed to get it back later. How is it that someone like this gets to keep this job? Because I think it has to be more than just the fears of being called a racist or a sexist or a bigot. I mean, most of us clearly know that that's going to be the battle cry at this point anyway. We catch it no matter what we said. It's like, I don't like the idea of being told I have to buy medical coverage for a bunch of stuff I don't need. Oh, sorry, you're a racist. What? So where do we get to? I'll let you have the mic now.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. And I told both individuals that I'm very disappointed in such cowardice. They're going to be called names anyway, and their future generations will call them worse names if they allow this thing to just be taken away like this, because the socialist pigs want to destroy this country, and what better way to destroy it than through the election process by not even allowing the will of the people to be the final say, where you magically find votes in boxes from a different location, or should I say different locations. And when they said that they are, it just keeps resonating in my ears, just the sound of when they were saying that they are afraid to do anything because they're afraid of being called a racist or a bigot or whatever. And I'm sorry. It's worth the risk, because if the Democrats, through cheating or otherwise, end up in control of Florida, we could just about kiss the 2020 elections goodbye. I understand that Republicans never take the White House without Ohio, but Florida has emerged as a very, very important entity in the election process, and considering the fact that Florida has the 17th most prosperous or 17th largest economy in the world, she's very important, as is Texas. And so this is something worth fighting for, whether you're called a name or not. I mean, I get called worse names than that every day of the week by black people who are socialist pigs for the most part, and are very angry over the fact that I'm not in their camp. So they need to get over it. Like I told them, I said, you guys need to get over it and stop acting like chumps, you know, stop acting like Paul Ryan or something, and just go for it and smack this stuff down, because it's a winnable battle, because they have been proven to commit illegal acts. And if this thing goes to court and all of that, I'm very sure that it's going to be ruled in the Republicans' favor. I mean, we have to go through all this again like we did during the days of the hanging chads. So be it. But to be afraid to go after this female, this beast, this silverhead beast, is just very, very atrocious. I you know, that speaks volumes. Many people that are supposed to be on our side, in such a negative way. It's such a negative connotation, in my opinion, to be so cowardly. Because if they're not willing to stand up because someone may call you a racist or a bigot, I mean, what else will you bend over for? What else will you grab the ankles for? So they have a lot to fight for. Like I said, that's a huge, beautiful economy. And it's very important in the election process, especially during the general elections. And so, oh, my goodness, just get in there and fight and win the doggone thing. That's what I say, but, you know, well, there's a lot of rhinos in
it. Right. Unfortunately, Ron, that's where we're at. We have a lot of folks that think, for whatever reason, and usually because the media tells them, you're not going to be able to win re-election if you cross too strong on this. When the truth of the matter is, if you're fighting for the American people and you're fighting for the will, the people of Florida are going to end up thanking you for it. And the ones who don't are the ones that are actively moving towards socialism anyway, and they're still going to benefit whether they thank us for it or not. The real scary thing here is when it's come to the Senate race and when it's come to the governorship, both of those did end up being in the automatic recount levels anyway. But we're seeing someone who is either A, completely corrupt, or B, completely inept. And, of course, there is the C option, could possibly be both. I mean, it can be both.
I take C. And,
But I was asked in the chat room just a little while ago if I thought they were trying to steal the election in Florida. And my answer keeps coming back to a simple, I'm not sure, because unfortunately, I can't necessarily give these folks enough credit to say that they're capable enough of pulling it off. It may just be that they are so totally inept and incompetent that they just can't do the job as it's supposed to be done. And that could be the real problem showing through. So I can't say yes or no. I would love to be able to give them full credit and say, yes, they're completely capable, they're very smart, because we know there are people who are. We just don't know that these folks are. Given this lady's track record and Ms. Snipes' track record, it's very hard to tell if she even realized half of what she has done is that shady. She may just be that clueless, and understandable why Democrats might want someone like that overseeing these elections, but... Anyway, where do you fall on that question? Are we seeing a concerted effort or incompetence? I think it's probably a lot of both, though.
I think it's both, but it's mostly a concerted effort, because remember, she's not working alone, because it is not she who was in other physical locations where they found these votes. So that alone tells me that she's not working alone. Even if she was just a stone-faced idiot, there are others. There's a concerted effort to overthrow this election, just like in Texas, and what I believe did happen in Arizona. So absolutely. And even idiots can be evil. And even in their incompetence, trying to work in a certain direction. So either way, she's part of the concerted effort, and you know, whether she's incompetent enough, that doesn't not bear anything on this, because there's a concerted huge effort to knock out this election. I mean, stemming all the way back from to George Soros and the funding and all of the people that they shipped in from Puerto Rico and all these other efforts. So she's not alone. And even if she was the biggest idiot since Adam or since Eve, there is still so much of a concerted effort. It's inconsequential whether she's just an idiot or whatever. It's just that huge. Because like I said, she wasn't in the locations where they were finding these other boxes of, what are they, provincial or, oh gosh, I can't think of the term that they use, for these extra votes that they suddenly found way after, right. By the way, way after the time that the, you know, voting is over and past a certain time, all the votes are in, and that's supposed to be it. And these are what we have. These are all that we're counting. And then all of a sudden from other locations, the provisional ballots, what? So no, this is a concerted effort.
But what I'm hearing you say in a much more polite fashion is that she's on the hook either way, because she's either ringleading for the area, she's the regional manager of this project, or she's a useful idiot, and she should be ashamed for being either one. Is that a fairly accurate assessment?
Yes. Yes, because you can be an idiot and still be consciously on, you know, part of the low, you know, the grunts, one of the grunts working for evil. They're evil idiots. And Joseph Stalin called them useful idiots. And so there she is.
Well, all I know is it's tragic that the party that constantly claims to be watching out for the little guy appears to be the party looking to unseat the desires and the voice of the actual American citizen people. And that's another. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when you see, it's true, and I'll explain. I'm prefacing this, my statement. It's true. The Democrat Party is for the little guy, and I'll explain how. They're out to make sure that we're all little guys. They're the ones that are trying to destroy the economy so that we're all remain little guys. Broke, busted, and disgusted, and in need of handouts from the government. That's what they did to the Black American population. That is what they are doing trying to do to the rest of America. That's why they're bringing up all these little guys from Central America, embittered people that are evil, some of them, who are coming up here to do harm. They're not about improving the quality of life for people. They're about keeping you down, keeping you bitter, and psyching you out and thinking that continuing to vote for them is actually bettering your life. It's been done for 60 years in the Black American community, keeping them little. Listened to a liberal minister one time, just reminding the people to be small potatoes. That was the title of his sermon. I got up and walked out. I said, I can't handle this. And so this is what they do. They want to make sure that they are looking out for the little guy, but that we're all little guys. And that it's like the big I and little you. And that is the way that they are looking out for the little guy, to make sure that we are all little guys that they can look after and control. So it's not the way that they try to make people think when they say, yes, we're out for the little guy, you know. But when you look at the history of where they have been in control over different cities and all of that, or sections of cities especially, those people are what? On the lowest rung of society. And wherever the socialists are in control, whether it's in the Democrat Party in America or in Venezuela, they make sure the people, they always say this. And if you look in from the Maoists and everywhere throughout the world, they always say, we're looking out for the little guy. But what they're doing is making sure that the people remain the little guy and powerless and all of that. So, yeah, they are looking out for the little guy, just not the way that many Americans interpret that.
Well, you know, it's real easy to say the right words. In fact, I was pointing out just the other day that Nancy Pelosi right now is saying the right words. She's talking about healing and unifying and working together. That doesn't mean that I believe she means it. But for the folks that want to hear it, and that's the great joy of politicians around the world, is they typically get really good at two things. One of them is wasting a ton of money, and the other is learning how to read the room and saying what you think they want to hear. And you've got to be able to cut through the minutia. One of the biggest threats that we have right now to our society is the fact that our public school system no longer teaches critical thinking. So there's a lot of folks that have no ability to cut through the crap and ask the pertinent question. When somebody talks about how we're going to do this, nobody's asking about, okay, how do we pay for that? Who else is that going to affect? And we end up with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has never had any of the answers to the questions she's asked, even by leftist news outlets, now says that if you're asking her a question she doesn't know the answer to, you haven't earned the right to ask her. And people are okay with that. How is it that we can have an elected official and we're okay with them telling us somebody hasn't earned the right to ask them when they've asked for this job and should be accountable?
Well, you get what you deserve. And if people are that stupid to elect an idiot, then that makes them even a greater idiot than Cortez. And they shall soon rue the day. Well, those that have a little bit of intelligence will rue the day that they made such a stupid choice. The others will just be like knuckle draggers running around grunting and complaining about the white man or whatever, and blaming America for their problems and playing right into her hands and just going on and on and on. It's the same old saw. You know, I saw it when I moved to Michigan, and I saw Detroit, Saginaw, Michigan, Flint, all these places just filled with people whose heads are literally squeezed into the back end of the donkey, and they just are there just taking in all the bilge and bitterness and hatred. And that's all they live on. Potato chips, soda, McDonald's, and bitterness and stupidity. And that's how they live. That's it. And they don't even live. They're just existing. And somehow they get, I guess, enough energy to make it to the polls to vote for people that they're brainwashed into thinking are okay, because they all are on the same page about destroying this country. And, I learned that the hard way. I used to think that people were misled, but in their heart of hearts, when it really comes down to it, they love the country. No, I'm sorry. I have learned the hard way through observation that there's a huge segment of this population that is more enamored with the destruction of this country than being able to even feed their children every single day. And so this is what we're dealing with, and that is why I say even more fervently, with more energy, that we have to be willing to do what is right, no matter what name we're called, because we are literally in a political-style civil war between slavery and liberty. And political slavery and liberty. This is where we're at, and we cannot be shy about fighting for the blessings that God has given us. And we must be willing to just go all the way to the wall. And speaking of a wall, to have that wall built too, by the way.
All right, I've actually got a caller from the Jacksonville, Florida area code calling in. So I'm going to let them come into the conversation right now. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Excellent.
I just want to know, in terms of, are you guys really, really, really knowledgeable in politics dealing with specific states?
I think it's fair to say that we follow elections fairly closely, but as far as
educate me on this. How does how is the runoff going to work in Georgia? Because I'm on the internet and I'm just trying to find out when is Georgia going to run off. When this runoff is coming, and I'm not getting no type of information. So I'm just wondering, how could Stacey Abrams? Because they're saying that she can make it go off to a runoff. But I'm just trying to see how. I'm not getting no type of information of when this runoff is going to take place, how it's going to take place, what makes her, because she's like 3 points down, and I'm just wondering how the hell is she going to make this go into a runoff.
There are people. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
Sir, there are
Let
people.
Let me check it, really. I'm going to check it. I think she's like 3 points. She's like 2 points down. I remember seeing it. That's what I saw last time.
There are people that are afraid to challenge her. That is literally the situation we have. It's just like in Broward County in Florida. There are people that are afraid, that are shaking in their little boots, that are afraid to challenge this woman and let her know that she's out of line, she's lost the election, and let's get about the business of, the next step. But she's challenging it in her own way, and people are afraid to stand up to her and stop it. Just like they're afraid in Florida to stop that woman and the others that are cheating in the election in Florida.
Oh, no. It's a different scenario here, right here in Florida, because they're not going to do now they're no longer eligible to do the recounts down there in Broward County. That is going to an independent committee to do because of this woman's incompetence. You're talking about Brenda Snipes, because I used to live
yes.
in Broward, and no, she is not doing the recount any longer. And,
no, she's not.
They're investigating how these ballots mysteriously showed up, how they mysteriously
right.
found new ballots to count. They're investigating
they're
that, too. So trust me, she's being challenged.
But they're also calling for attorneys to come down there because they need volunteers to oversee the recount. And I've been told by people in that neck of the woods that they are afraid to challenge that woman because she's black and she's female. And that's not from me. That is not from me. This is from Floridians. And so,
as a Floridian, who will be participating in the polling, and who, because I'm making sure, because the thing is, I hate to say it this way. I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but I did vote down ballot Republican, and that's not necessarily because I support them, but that's because it was pretty much a protest vote against the Democrats, who pretty much justify violence against other people that they politically disagree with. So that's why I did that. But I'm a volunteer for those polls down there, and I'm gonna make sure. Well, I'm gonna do my part to make sure everyone's vote is counted.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking some of your time to do that, because ultimately that's what we all want. From what I'm seeing, and I have been kind of trying to look this up, it doesn't look like it's possible or plausible that Abrams is going to manage to get that automatic runoff vote. It doesn't look like it's happening. But it doesn't surprise me that somebody's floating that out there. I was seeing stuff the other day where folks were trying to float out a scenario of electing in the upcoming election Hillary Clinton as Speaker of the House, because one thing that most folks don't realize is you don't actually have to be an elected member of the House to set as Speaker. And they were talking about having the Democrats vote for Hillary and then finding ways to remove Donald Trump and then Mike Pence, and then she would be president by order of succession. The odds of this stuff actually happening are very minuscule, even if there was the political will. But
right.
People love to throw scenarios. So it may just be a case where somebody's putting up a wishful thinking scenario.
So,
it doesn't look like it happened, though.
So my question is, okay, if she cannot get it to a runoff, when will he be declared the winner of Georgia?
That's a great question. By rights, I was under the impression by law they have to certify it in Georgia in the next couple of days. But again,
she's pretty much stalling, and I don't understand how A, she's getting away with it, and B, how long before they can declare either it goes to a runoff or they swear this man in as the governor. I'm just wondering, next year he gets sworn in? January? Is it January he gets sworn in?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay,
but they're allowing this.
Uh huh.
They're allowing this. This is what to answer your question. They're allowing her to stonewall or whatever. They're allowing it. If they didn't allow it, it would be over. Legally, yes. In the long run, she's going to be out. But until they go ahead and enforce what is the legal stature of everything, she's going to continue. As long as she's allowed to do what she's doing, she's not going to stop.
I think to be honest, Brian Kemp is most likely to be the governor of Georgia, because it says right here, it says, but she still needs to net about 22,000 votes to force a December 4th runoff. And there aren't many votes that they have yet to be reported. So there's if she knows the right people and have the right people at the right places, there's a possible fix there. Just like in Broward County, in Broward County, in my opinion, if it wasn't necessarily for Trump or Rick Scott bringing this to the national forefront, I think, in my heart of hearts, they would have fixed that as much as possible. Because they did the same thing. I don't know if you guys know who Tim Canova is, but he was Debbie Wasserman Schultz's opponent last year. And this is the same woman, Brenda Snipes, who was very, very close allies with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She actually, there's no proof to it, but I believe she fixed that election, because the same exact scenario that's happening to Ron DeSantis and Rick Scott is the same exact scenario that happened in 2016 with Tim Canova and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. All of a sudden, these missing ballots came out of the blue and she won. And not only that, she was charged because she was caught destroying ballots.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to happen this time. I don't think. Hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But I don't think it's going to necessarily happen this time because now I think she's under investigation right now.
Well, thank God, because you know she you're correct. She was caught before, and it was public knowledge. But somebody had to be afraid of somebody in order for her to be allowed back in there.
I'm just wondering with Rick Scott, you know, I'm just wondering, okay, because, you know, Tim Canova filed a lawsuit against them as well in Broward County, and Rick Scott didn't do a damn thing about it. Now when it's his, I don't want to curse, but his ass on the line, all of a sudden, you know, it's an issue.
Well, you're right about that. It does
That's
seem
true.
To be a situation where he probably should have stepped up a little more and looked into it, but he may very well have had some of the same political pressures. And it's a shame because, again, we don't elect people to bow to political pressures. We elect people to do our business and to represent us, and they're not doing that if they're not following in line with law and order. And, you know, there can't be two sets of rules. There needs to be one, or there is no justice.
Now, the good thing about the governor's race here with Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis is that I think by Friday we should know which one of them won. Although I highly, highly doubt Gillum is going to win, but I think by Friday we should know which one of them would become victorious. With the thing between Rick Scott and Bill Nelson, that's going to take like a whole nother week because after they do the machine count, now they're going to have to go to the hand count, which is going to take like a whole nother week for them to do. So we won't know then. But I think that even let's say all of Broward County does go to Bill Nelson's favor, I don't think he could still win because Rick Scott. Although the margin is extremely thin, now they're claiming it's 12,000 points between them. I don't think he have the votes to push it over the edge, to be honest with you. I still wouldn't think that unless there's something wrong, like I said before.
Well, the thing that may be wrong is like those boxes of provisional votes that they have carted out after the election was supposed to be over and all the votes that are to be counted should have already been assembled. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you've got these other provisional votes that were not part of the actual election process. So I don't know. I pray that you're correct, that he does not have enough, you know, not only for the good of Florida, but for the good of the United States. If Gillum gets in there, Florida, All the great economic growth that you all have down there under Republicans, it'll be gone. That guy will murder your economy.
And he gets to appoint Supreme Court judges here as well, here in Florida, which makes it a lot more scary because I think like they got like two of these seats up this year. I mean, they got two of these seats are going to be up because two or three of them are going to retire. So if Gillum wins, which I'm praying, I don't think he can, to be honest with you, because he's 32,000 points down, or something like that. It's like 32,000 points between them, and I just don't I don't see how that's gonna close, to be honest with you, because machine counts are extremely accurate, and I just don't see it happening unless they added new votes in out the blue, like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
yeah, in fact, I think the biggest question here is how many of those provisional ballots should count in the first place. There are reasons people cast ballots. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot my photo ID. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my registration card. Who knows how many different reasons. And what is incumbent on the election commission is to go through and check and verify that, number one, that these folks actually – are on the rolls legally, that they haven't been removed from the rolls for some reason, or that they're not violating some law. And then the other thing is to make sure that they haven't already voted in person getting this, or via absentee because some of that has been discovered in Texas this go around. We found cases of people double dipping where they're legally on the rolls and they showed up and they had done the early voting by absentee and came in person and didn't say anything. And some maybe a few folks might accidentally forget that they've already voted that way, but there's way too many people in that case. But that's the whole purpose of this job. You have to be able to step up, and if you're not capable of it, and you've already proven, in the case of Ms. Snipes, she's already proven that she's not capable of it, or she is corrupt in doing it, one or the other, maybe even some of both, like we were talking about earlier. Why on earth would anybody on either party want someone like that in charge of something as important as...
I agree. Like, that's why I always tell, like my family, they're very, you know, they're pretty much liberals. And I've had this discussion with my brother. My brother, like a lot of liberals here, you know, of course they got that bias. So, you know, they're going to kind of side with her in terms of counting the votes, and there's no proof of election fraud, this and the third. But I even told him, okay, take off your partisan shades off, and just look at it this way. Why on earth would you want somebody like this in the accounting office? So if, let's just say there's two Democrats running, and there's one that you pretty much agree with on everything, and there's another one where you too much, you know, you don't, of course, you don't too much like them for whatever reason, but she happens to like the one that you don't like, and she's going to cheat her, and she's willing to cheat for that person. Why was, on earth would you still want her there? And he couldn't say a damn thing. He just says, well, it is what it is. You know, and always let people know you can't allow your biases to supersede foresight at all. You just can't allow right. that.
I couldn't have said it any better. Caller, thank you very much for calling in and participating in the conversation. I appreciate it. And
thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute so that you can continue to listen in. And again, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Actually, just as I was doing that, Ron dropped off the line. Hopefully he will call back here in just a moment. I'll reach out to him and get him back in. But, you know, the caller makes some great points, and that point still comes back to we have to be willing to put aside the ends justifying the means mentality. And a lot of people have latched on to that. It's like, well, it doesn't really matter how my guy gets there as long as he gets there. But then just as he was finishing up the conversation there, he said, what happens during the primary where they cheat for the Democrat that you don't like and it ends up messing up the Democrat that you do like the opportunity to hold that office? Well, I think we are mature enough that if the people of a district duly elect a Democrat over a Republican, we should be willing to accept that. But we should also stand back and make sure that we understand, plain and simple, what it is that we're expecting and what it is that we are asking. Now, again, elections are important for a multitude of reasons. The fact that the Florida State Supreme Court may possibly have two justices appointed this upcoming year, or certainly within the next two, could swing the state Supreme Court in a direction that would be harmful for its economy for a long time. If you accept and you put on the ballot this gentleman who, for all intents and purposes, seems pretty radical. Seems like he is a straight-up socialist, and I have yet to figure out why the Democrats seem to be embracing open socialism these days, but we've seen several folks do it in several races this year. Socialism is not a good thing for the economy, and I don't know how many historical references you have to illustrate the point. if socialism could work, by now someone would have done it. It can't. And the fact that we have so many races right now that are still up in the air speaks volumes to how important these particular seats are. The Georgia Democratic race, which was the question the caller had initially, it's a very, very unusual situation where nobody's calling out. Want to thank Freedom Quest EJ in the chat room for commenting in that area as well. Evidently, EJ is actually in Georgia right now and has been following this very closely. And the word there is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's not going to happen. And, okay, New Orleans is asking, that's the new scare tactic, yelling socialist. It's like communists back in the 50s and 60s. Well, it's not that different because socialism leads that open-door policy to communism. And yeah, forget it being a scare tactic, New Orleans. If somebody comes out and says, yes, this is what I am, the overwhelming majority of Americans, regardless of color, creed, religion, and political affiliation, fundamentally understands that socialism is not congruent with the American way. It's just not. Do I agree with my guest that blacks are socialist pigs? I don't put words in Ron's mouth, and Ron doesn't put words in mine. He's speaking from personal experience when he was making that. And his comments were directed specifically at folks that are actually openly calling for socialism and openly calling for anarchism. And it's important that even though it sounded like he was speaking in general, to understand that he wasn't speaking in general at that point. And I'm a little surprised Ron hasn't called back in. Don't know what happened. Hopefully he'll call back in here momentarily. At any rate, I'll be watching for Ron's return. But if he doesn't get back, then we'll just close this thing down. And this has just been a good conversation, and I certainly appreciate the caller, but the show itself has just been plagued with one thing after another. First, Miss Donovan wasn't able to get through. And now Ron's dropped off, and I had the technical issues up front that made me late to get started. It's just been a great, great day. But if you really want to look at the circumstance, at the end of the day, people are going to try and stall this out. But I think the biggest takeaway here is going back to Hillary Rodham Clinton asking Donald J. Trump, if you lose this election, will you accept the results? When the American people speak, no matter how close it is, will you accept the results? And he tried to give a qualified answer. He didn't come out and say that he would just accept the results, which is good, because I do think that if there's a close race and there's shenanigans involved, then maybe you shouldn't just let it go. But what I find amazing is that time after time, it's not conservatives that hold up and fight against the outcomes of elections. That's not what we're seeing this election cycle. Do I agree with Ron that the lady in Broward County is a silver-haired beast? Well, again, like I said, I don't put words in Ron's mouth, and Ron doesn't put words in mine. Have you heard me refer to Miss Snipes as a silver-haired beast? I agree that Ron has Ron Edwards is a Samuel Jackson character from the movie Django Unchained. No, he is not, sir. But at any rate, Ron has every right to express himself, just as you have every right to express yourself. I simply question her ability to do the job. That's where I'm at with that. one of two things is going on, and unfortunately her past shows both a willingness to break the law and an inability to fulfill the functions of her job. So it is really hard to tell if it is just a case of complete and total incompetence on her part, or if it's part of a consorted effort to try and steal the election, which was your original question earlier. It's really hard to tell. I don't tend to be a bomb thrower. Ron isn't typically a bomb thrower, but Ron does tend to get a little aggravated from time to time with certain folks' activities. So sometimes he'll be a little more forceful in the language. That's about all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you that that Ron is wrong in his assessment. I'm just going to tell you that's not how I would say things. It's a cowardly thing to do. He's a black person to express hateful language towards blacks. Okay, New Orleans. So is that what you think I'm doing? Because, you know, I have Ron on fairly regularly because he has a very good show with a very good audience, and he's been kind enough to invite me on several times. He's willing to come on. That's my cover. Okay. So then why do I let you hang around, and why do I interact with you? Yeah, I blocked you for a while because of your behavior in the chat room, where you not only were harassing, and I would use the word harassing, not only harassing Kel and following her to other places, but you also keep getting yourself bounced out of Southern Sense. And Annie is just the kind of person that's not going to put up with a bunch of stuff. Now, when you're in here and you're making valid points, I have a little more tolerance, but you cannot simply just attack other people in this chat room. I've already gave you a short-term ban, and I will make it permanent if you can't get along with the folks in here. And you can say whatever you like in regards to if I'm using black people to shield my feelings, but that's pretty lame. I know what you have to say is valuable. Well, sometimes it is, New Orleans. In fact, on Friday night, when it was just you and Chief in there, you were very, very poignant, and you did have valid things to say. And lots of times you do bring value to the conversation until you start making everything personal. And that's where things get in. I mean, you're literally saying that I'm racist by having black people come on my show and say what they have to say. No hate speech should be allowed on my show, no matter who says it. Well, see, now you run into this issue about trying to define hate speech, New Orleans. I don't define hate speech here. Sorry, COG. And I will move on from the topic. But, if I hear anti-Semitism, if I hear openly retarded racist sentiment, it gets bounced pretty quick. But at any rate, what it comes down to is just because somebody says something you don't like, that doesn't make it hate speech. And just because somebody decides that they're going to be a little more forceful in their language, that doesn't make it hate speech. And I don't spend a lot of time censoring other people. There are certain things that I will allow, and there are certain things that I will not. I don't consider Ron Edwards calling this lady a silver-haired beast to be hate speech. I consider it him making a harsh statement because in his mind, her behavior is beastly. And with that, since I only have a few minutes left anyway, I'm going to kind of leave that there. All right. And obviously, Ron wasn't able to get back in, so I'll see what happened with Ron a little later, and we'll try to do a makeup thing with Miss Donovan as well. And, you know, it's really just the election's been probably some of the wildest we've seen in a while. So before I say adieu, I would like to thank everybody who is hanging out in the chat room. And we had a few more folks join us as things went on. Alaska COG stands for Child of God. Thanks for joining me today. Bigfoot came along as well. Gary, thank you very much. And Mary joined us as well. Again, Robin Duffy, thank you for being here. I have a feeling you're probably here to hear Miss Donovan. And I don't know what happened. I'll have to get in touch, and we will reschedule. She's been a great guest multiple times. Would imagine that she just got caught up with something. And then Annie, the host of Southern Sense, joined us at some point. And at some point, Chief, the host of Simple Facts of Life, has left the chat room, but he was here with us earlier. Thank you, all of you, for being here, and thanks, Ron. And thank you, a caller from the Jacksonville area as well. Always good to have somebody who's on the ground in an area who has knowledge of a topic, who's willing to speak and, you know, just be that way. Meanwhile, I guess I'm going to call this disaster of a show because, again, for those of you who were not here earlier, I was nearly 35 minutes late getting on just because Blog Talk Radio Well, thank you, Robin. I appreciate it. Blog Talk Radio refused to accept my PIN number. So they've done that to me in the past. But, well, Mary, actually, you didn't miss much before that. That's just what I'm talking about. But I appreciate you being here, Mary. And in the meanwhile, I guess it is time to close down. So, as is always the case, I will I once again remind everyone, hope you're having a great Veterans Day, and that if you're a family member or if you are a veteran yourself, that you are feeling the love of a great. And in the meanwhile, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, but most importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. Check out patriotmusic.com when you get an opportunity, and if you already have, please feel free to check it out again. Matt Fitzgibbons, he's a great historian, a pretty daggum good musician, and let him know I sent you. If you decide to, you don't get any discounts or anything. I just like him to know I'm still sending folks that direction. Here's one of his. It's The Rain Is Coming, and I'm probably going to take most of next week off, so I'm not expecting to be on air. So hope you guys have a great week next week, and God bless, and I am out.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. Broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt. But there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, the lightning's begun, the flood will come to wash out the things that remain.
The rain.